What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Your man Eric Wilson in for the Sports Arena. Yes, on a Monday night. And can I just say, all is right with the world. Let me just go ahead and say that. Start the show off here tonight. The Eagles won, the Cowboys lost, and the Kansas City Chiefs are still undefeated. Okay, with that, we're going to go through all the games tonight. So let me go ahead and get my man the left coast, the west coast. He is a Sun Devil, Jerry. My brother Mike Carrots Noodles in the building. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, funny guy from a team who had a crap game too, but you guys won.
Wait, cool, man. Did we, Mike? At the end of the day, did we win? Yes.
No,
did
you lose? You know me. Yes. Hey, okay. I was just gonna say, you know my saying. There's no such thing as an ugly win. A win's a win.
Yeah, WW. That's it. Look, we're recapping week three here. Okay, so let's just get right to it.
Yeah, I made it back from Denzel's neck of the woods too. I made it back from Texas, man. Got to see my Devils real quick. You know, play at Texas Tech. Great atmosphere. Fans weren't obnoxious like, you know, Philly fans, but it was all good. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
It was
all right. You know what? I saw a U of A bumper sticker today. I almost hit him
in Philly
in honor of you. No, in Florida.
Sorry, in Florida.
Yes, in Florida. Yeah.
I didn't know they let uneducated people out that far. That's funny.
I'm just saying. All right. So let's get to the games. First up, the Broncos bounce back against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, listen, it was a much needed victory for the Denver Broncos as they beat the Bucs 26-7. You know, Bo Nix, the boy, rushed for a touchdown. He was 25 of 36 for 216. You know, he's still hunting for his first passing touchdown of the season. Right. He still doesn't have that. But Will Lutz, 4 field goals. I mean, the defense they unleashed havoc on Mayfield 7 times. And that's our boy. We like him and all, but 7 times? Yeah. I mean, and they snagged the interception that allowed Bo Nix to get a touchdown. I mean, they just struggled offensively. The Bucs did 223 total yards. Mike, talk to me about this game, bro.
Yeah, look, this is why I say, and again, and people are conditioned. You and I think going back, you know, 18 years ago is one of our conversations is that people get to a point where, you know, especially in college football, to me is more prevalent in college football where, oh, this team's just going to win. Like, you know, they should win. They don't. But in the NFL, it's like, oh, I mean, they're, you know, every excuse for a team to be bad and, oh, this team didn't win. It's one of those anomalies. But this is, again, old cliche, but this is why you play the game, man. Like, and yeah, Bo Nix, you knew that when, well, I knew, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but not shocked he won the starting job. I mean, what this young man did, you know, after even starting at Auburn, where's the legacy, but his transfer, getting with, you know, Coach Lanning, Coach Dillingham, and just any dude, I think we talked about this, Eric, when he was drafted, any dude that completes 75% of his passes and 73 over a 2-year period, like, you can play quarterback. It's not just dump downs. It's you can play quarterback. But yeah, he's learning, you know, working with Sean Payton. Obviously, that's a tough thing to do. But at the same time, Sean Payton understands what he can do. From that standpoint, yeah, it's odd that he doesn't have a passing touchdown yet. But like you said, when you complete, you know, 25 of 36 passes, you don't have a touchdown pass. But opposite of what you said of Mayfield, you don't have an interception. And watching the highlights, I mean, this defense, you know, I call it the good old 2000 Ravens saying, well, as long as this, you know, the offense just doesn't turn the ball over and they can score, you know, 17 to 20 points. And again, I'm not putting the Broncos there. I'm just saying that's the mentality. People knew that, okay, that's probably going to be the stronger side of the ball and they're going to have to keep him in games. And Bo Nix, look, that's the one thing he's not going to do. He's not going to turn the ball over. Yes, you want to see a touchdown pass. Yes, I'm sure they want to see, I know for a fact, like we always talk about, more fluidity in offense. But Eric, from week one to week three, how this young man has grown, insane, especially against a very decent Bucs defense. We saw what they did. I mean, you know, the thing with the victory in Detroit, they gave up over 400 yards almost 500 yards, I think, to Detroit. But hey, you can give up those yards between the 20s. You don't let people in. Guess what? You win the game. And Tampa did that. So I'm not going to say they were looking past Denver overlook. You know me. I'm not going to take that way out. Denver's defense is going to play with anybody. Can they be had? I think at some point, sure. But I like the play calling. And again, I don't think he's spoon feeding Bo Nix. And I think, you know, yeah, rookie quarterback, we see it. I mean, saw it with Dak.
He's going to have growing pains.
They're going to take off and run too quick. And I don't think he's doing that. But at times it's like, okay, like, oh, it's not open. Yeah, it is open. Get the ball there. But huge confidence booster win to overstate the obvious for Denver. But by no means is Tampa out of it. I just think that, you know, you like coach is always saying, and people say, oh, it's just coach speak, especially in the NFL. You better pack your lunch and bring your work boots every Sunday. Because there's some, like I've always said to you, and not that you've disagreed, other people have, there's somebody, there's a grown-ass man across the line from you trying to whoop your ass and impose their will and do what they're doing. I don't care what records is and stuff like that. There's a grown-ass person that's getting paid just like you, to do that. And, you know, hats off to Denver. I don't think I'm surprised at the offense from Tampa. The one last thing I will say to you, I'm just surprised they didn't adjust the adjustments. They were there. But they didn't adjust more. And that's the one thing from looking back at that surprised me.
All right, let's keep moving here to the next matchup. And don't look now, but the Minnesota Vikings are 3-0. I mean, they beat the Houston Texans 34-7. Sam Darnold matched his career high, 4 touchdown passes. The defense, led by Jonathan Greenard's 3 sacks, intercepted C.J. Stroud twice. I mean, Stroud, look, 20 for 31, 215, but for whatever reason, could not get anything going. I want to bring in our guest here because he was kind enough to take time out of his night to join us on the Sports Arena. Our brother, Denzel Snipes, is in the building. My brother, man, good to see you. Hope all is well out there. Man, before I come to Mike, I got to hear from you. This is your team, a team that a lot of people, myself included, was going to win the AFC South. But to go to Minnesota and have a game like this, man, what did you see?
A combination of two things. It very well could be that we overlooked the Minnesota Vikings just a tad bit, in which, and every team has this, is okay, sometimes they have a loss that kind of humbles them. And that I can totally understand. I'm all right with. I'm actually okay with, you know, because if you're going to get to the promised land, you got to be humble just a little bit. I understand the fire and the attitude and everything like that. That's great. We need to be hyped. But also at the same time, there may be a slight chance that we overlook them just a little bit. Now, also at the same time, and shout out to the Minnesota Vikings, but correct me if I'm wrong, they lead the division, correct, currently?
Yeah.
With that being said, the Vikings are for real. They listen to everybody say that the division is Detroit's to lose. Then there's that Green Bay team that has that love guy. Oh, wait, he got hurt for a couple of weeks. But then they won 2 straight with Malik Willis. So it's Detroit and then Green Bay kind of on the bumper. And Minnesota said, wait a second, after losing their starter, J.J. McCarthy, who we still don't know is yet, and then you got Sam Darnold, who may as well be a modern-day Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going off right now. So it very well also could be that the Vikings are for real. But looking at the schedule, we do have the Jags next week. I'm not overlooking them, but they're currently being cooked by the Bills. So it just will very well may be our bounce back game. But hats off to the Minnesota Vikings. As the Texans, sometimes you got a game like that. You just do. I didn't feel too bad about it. I think it'll make us stronger.
Okay. Mike, give me your thoughts, brother.
Yeah, I'm with Denzel on that. I mean, I think it was the first interception. Well, what are the interceptions? I mean, Stroud did a good job. He stepped up in the pocket. I think his receiver just slipped. And again, you know, whatever, keep your feet. But look, to piggyback on what he said too, when Kevin O'Connell gets a hold of a quarterback who was ruined by, I won't say the team's name, Eric, because I don't want to hurt Mama Caratanudo's feelings. Mm-mm. But that team just ruined, that offensive line ruined quarterbacks. And I'm not saying, and every time I say this, people are like, oh, you're saying he's the next, you know, he would have been the greatest quarterback ever. No, I'm just saying, like I've said to you a million times, Denzel, I've said this, some quarterbacks always get the excuse about the O-line. Other quarterbacks, it's their fault, even though their O-line is getting them killed. Kevin O'Connell with quarterbacks and Sam Darnold, look, it was never a physical thing to where the dude couldn't make the throws. It's not like he had like a, you know, a noodle arm, right? But right. You get a running back back when they – and it's like when Minnesota lost Dalvin Cook. I said, okay, I think, yeah, they can kind of handle it, but it's going to look different. Oh, so you go get Jones and look at that. Dude's going crazy. You can run the ball. You can protect him. And look how comfortable he looks in the pocket. I mean, from what? Seeing ghosts against the Patriots to the Texans. I mean, literally, I'm not going to say every play. I know, Denzel, you watch a game, but they were collapsing the pocket a lot. And they're, yes, you know, it's a condensed space. He's not taking off. He's not just chucking it. Steps up, throws a touchdown. What Minnesota's done the last few weeks, I guess, look, more people would be surprised because, look, they weren't even last year. I mean, I know when Cousins went down, but nobody really out-physical Detroit. And I'm not saying Minnesota's defense is, you know, quite there. I think they're a good defense, but you're going to look at it and say, well, can you out-physical Detroit? Look, can you beat them? Sure. If you're going to out-physical them, that's a whole different thing. But Minnesota's game plan, I mean, you give it to Aaron Jones. Yes, you have, you know, you have that huge matchup. I mean, everybody, you know, was excited, but, and it wasn't, I know, all game, I think, Denzel, but Stingley taking on, you know, Justin Jefferson. And I mean, that, look, that's Justin Jefferson had a good day. I'm not going to say it was good. I'm not going to say it was an insane day from Jefferson, but
he scored.
Sam Darnold is looking comfortable. And I said that from the beginning, and you know, Eric knows this. Everybody said, oh, because when he got tried, it was like, oh, Pac-12 homer. I'm like, dude, it's not about time. I know we're going to get to the Bears in a second, but I'll compare it to Caleb Williams when we get there. But what Minnesota can do offensively, again, it's just like when they had Dalvin Cook. You can run the ball. Now you have a more experience, because that was my whole point about Justin Jefferson to, like, last season, E. Like, yeah, he got hurt, but with Dalvin Cook gone, you're putting less on a plate for a defensive coordinator. Not that the other running backs aren't good, but from what we saw from Dalvin Cook the last few years, and, you know, when you weren't picking on Kirk Cousins, rightfully so, Dalvin Cook was killing people. That offensive line was killing people, and that opened a ton of things up for a Minnesota team that won those three-point games. So you look at yesterday's game, they just had – I talked about adjustments from Tampa, right? It just seemed like Minnesota had the every adjustment they needed to make, but it starts with the calmness, to me, of Sam Darnold. And look, the pocket's going to collapse. We know this. We know this Houston's defense is for real. And C.J. Stroud, I mean, even when he had those plays, and that's what I was going to say this when I knew when you said Denzel's coming on. Like, yeah, quarterbacks might not have a great game. He stepped up. The one interception, okay, yeah, he, you know, receiver goes down, still a quarterback interception. The other interception's like, huh. But the look on his face was like, all right, you know, learning thing. I don't think it, you know, I'm not going to, you know, go crazy and overreact on one day, say, oh, they can't win the division now. No, that's definitely not it. But – It's definitely a learning point for them. But for Minnesota, man, I'm not calling them Super Bowl champs. I'm just saying people.
It's definitely an eye opener with where they're at right now watching this team, because this was a team who I think we predicted was not going to really win that many games. And we did base it on who they had on paper and the loss of J.J. McCarthy. So, Denzel, man, I appreciate – go ahead, man. I'll give you the final word. We got to keep it moving, my brother. But thank you so much. But go ahead. I'll get you the final word on this one.
No problem. Thank you for having me on. And you know what? To Michael's point and alluding to you, Mr. Eric, Kevin O'Connell's way with quarterbacks and resurrecting them, because I seem to recall a quarterback whose career was dead in the water after leaving Jeff Fisher. He came to you guys, and y'all left with a trophy. I'm sure you know his name. His name was Nick Foles.
I know his name. I definitely know his name. Just retired as a Philadelphia Eagle. Denzel, much love to you, brother. We will definitely holler at you, man. Stay blessed. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thanks for having me on, brothers.
All right, man. Mike, let's keep it going on to the next game here, and it is the Pittsburgh Steelers, another team, 3-0, my brother, behind Justin Fields. Gritty victory, call it what you will, over the Chargers, 20-10. Fields was 25 of 32 for 245 yards. He tossed a touchdown, put another one on the ground, and that defense, listen, they're not the steel curtain. That's not what I'm saying. However, I mean, let's hold the fact that they were relentless. When you hold the Chargers defense to 168 total yards, I mean, they just faltered. We know that Herbert left with an ankle injury. We know that it's not as bad as people may have expected. But, Mike, the Steelers with Justin Fields, 3-0. Bruh, come on, man. Talk to me.
T.J. Watt could have played on the steel curtain, and I don't throw that out there, even though you know I'm not a Steelers fan, obviously. I don't throw that out there lightly. T.J. Watt could have played on the steel curtain. I'm not saying other dudes from that team couldn't. Look, Justin Fields, I mean, I try to make it sound different. I don't know, you know, it's almost we go from one, you know, land of misfit toys quarterback to another land of misfit toys quarterback because people viewed him that way because of, again, what they had around him. And I get tired of, like I said, people saying, oh, excuses. If you do not have an average NFL offensive line, then I don't want to hear how great a quarterback is. You are going to get demolished in the NFL. Like, and Justin Fields, again, I think his first start ever, what was it, in Chicago was against Cleveland, a defense like, oh, welcome to the NFL. And people were like, oh, I don't know if he has it. I love it when, you know, because people listen to, obviously, breakdowns, and you'll hear, you know, analysts and former players talk about it, and I get it. It's not even about a hot take. They have to say something. But you go from the Bears where they didn't protect you, where when you ran around and went crazy and ran for touchdowns, oh, and then guess what? Let me extend plays and start bombing the ball to my tight end who nobody covers downfield. Like, it's not that the talent wasn't there in Justin Fields. It's what are you putting around him? So he signed – I mean, the Bears, what? They got the Steelers, of course, again – hats off. You basically know that the Bears are taking Caleb Williams. So you give up what, a fourth round pick, whatever they gave up. But basically it's like, here's a Coke machine and some snacks. And thank you for Justin Fields. You go into a situation where, okay, Russ is a starter. Russ with the calf gets banged up every week. They're like, oh, he didn't look that good against week one, or he played the whole preseason. One thing I'll say to you, and I've heard people say this, it's not like I'm like, you know, splitting the atom on this one, but the first thing I thought of, man, even as I heard this, I was thinking this, like, he was their dude in preseason. He's their dude to start season. So you're telling me Russell Wilson comes back and he's ready to go. Like, not that Russell Wilson doesn't. I'm not the one sitting here calling, you know, Russell Wilson fake. But you're telling me that the locker room's not rallied around Justin Fields? And, like we just said, that defense. But as for yesterday's game, I mean, you want to talk about a sick completion percentage. Yeah, that's going to win you a ton of games. You play some defense. Yes, I know, everybody, you got to get in the end zone. But the only quarter they didn't score in was the first. They were down 7-0, and then they outscored the Chargers 20-3. So as the game went on, I mean, yeah, like you said, 25 of 32 for 245 yards and a tutty. Sign me up for that every week. Oh, no, he did have an interception. I apologize. Yes, he did have the one interception. But that was one of those things, like, it's 25 of 32, and I'm like, damn, like, not making crazy mistakes, making the reads. Yeah, there's some you're like, oh, man, like, he can hit that shot. And the Chargers have been running the ball. And what did the Steelers do? They just said, I don't care. I mean, if it was in Pittsburgh or L.A., you and I know it wouldn't have mattered. They said, you ain't running the ball today, kids. Like, yeah,
not in our house.
From the West Coast, you can talk about all this. But, yeah, Justin Herbert, look, I mean, we've never questioned his toughness, because – I mean, let's be honest, there's no reason to.
Right.
But, you know, came back, looked okay, but then gets banged up again. And that's one of those things where when you look at it, you're kind of like, huh, okay. You know, I mean, his day wasn't the best, but it wasn't the worst. But, I mean, you know, giving the ball to Najee Harris, like, that's one of those things where – that's going to win them the games too. And people, I know a lot of people are like, ah, oh, Najee Harris has kind of fallen off, this and that. Again, anything Mike Tomlin does, I'm going to be with it, because it's to me, it's insane. You know, five sacks yesterday, five sacks. And if you're Pittsburgh, I mean, look, there's your game, man. At some point you get five sacks and now you're down to the Taylor Heinicke again, who, yes, is serviceable, yes, can play, but obviously you're not coming in out of the bullpen, as they say, and probably hanging one on the Steelers. So, yeah. Fire Mike Tomlin.
No, please. All right, next game. And of course it is my game.
Oh yeah.
Saquon Barkley just powered my Philadelphia Eagles. 15-12 comeback. I get it. Against the Saints. Two clutch fourth quarter touchdowns. Goddard showed up, 170 receiving yards. And the biggest thing that I want to say right here, my Eagles defense holding Derek Carr, a man who has put up 90-plus points in two games to 219 total yards. You want to break that down? That is 54 yards a quarter, if you want to get technical about it.
Yep.
I mean, listen, we grinded it out. You can call it an ugly win, but damn it, we got the job done.
Yes, you did. I mean, look, and Giants fans can sit there and say, hey, look, there was 35% of our offense. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that look, the first game in Brazil, Saquon was that dude. I know everybody, you know, coming off the drop, like we talked about last week, there was more to that game than that drop. It just, of course, the time it happened. Yes. And then yesterday, I mean, gets a 65-yard run. Is just looking like, you know, looking like the running back that got drafted. Everybody ripped the Giants for taking so high. But then when he started doing things, they're like, oh, maybe the Giants did get the best player in the draft. That's weird. And now he's an Eagle. But, yeah, I look at it. Yeah, I mean, look, winning is always going to build confidence. And to your point, you just said it. I mean, 91 points in 2 weeks, like crushing it. Crushing it. And you look at it like, damn. I mean, Alvin Kamara, like, dude is look like his normal. Everybody's like, oh, how's he going to look? And, you know, all this. But, yeah, I mean, look, the Saints can play defense. And I know when we talked about them in the preseason, I was saying the offense is going to be the question. I just don't think, obviously, Dennis Allen being a defensive guy, like, I think that there's some pieces. We talked about some pieces. But the defense is going to be like, okay, well, we'll keep you in games. Yeah, we're not going to pitch shutouts, obviously, every game. But, you know, work with us. And what Carr has done and people – and I know our, shout out to our to Big Guard going back and forth. But, like, you know, when Ty Ray was sitting there saying saying, like, how can you say that, you know, Derek Carr is not this quarterback and – or a good quarterback and everybody's – everybody's yeah, just saying no way, like, oh, this and that. But that year that he got hurt, I mean, I go back to God, what was it, like 2015, 16, when he got hurt with the Raiders and they were rolling and people were like, man, the Patriots haven't seen them. And, oh, you know, started, you know, bringing back late in the season before the playoffs. They had both clinched and they're showing, you know, the wonderful, of course, you know, the Patriots benefit off of BS Tuck rule, which, you know, they never should have benefited off of, but not bitter. Still not bitter, I should say. But they started saying, man, this Raiders team, like the way Carr's playing, the way they're running the ball, the way everything's going. I mean, the weapons he has, the way they're playing defense. Carr goes down, and I mean, Denzel knows, obviously, they go to Houston with a backup quarterback and they hang in it, but they lose. Like, the dude can play ball. And yeah, what happened in Vegas, I get it, you know. Gruden, you know, and his quarterbacks and all the stuff's going down. And then, you know, they kind of run him out of Vegas and New Orleans is like, oh, again, with them, not that Drew Brees was either, but, oh, we'll take the thing. We'll take somebody you think's a misfit toy. And yeah, last year he got banged up. And I mean, frightfully so. I mean, there was questions coming in. He got banged up, questions about the offense, but man, if you're going to just line up and we always say what travels in the NFL, a defense and a run game, you're going to line up and punch people in the mouth and stay true to the run game like the Saints have done, like, yeah, you're going to put up points and you're going to keep going with it and you're going to smash people. I mean, yeah, 14 of 25, you're going to look at that like, man, that was obviously Carr's most struggling day. One touchdown, one interception. He did get sacked once. I mean, Hurst, you want to talk about battling back, got dropped four times. Again, the Saints D doing their thing, but 29 of 38, 311. I know no touchdowns, but when you go 17 for 147 from Saquon, and then he has four, you know, I know he had four catches for 9 yards. They were kind of bottling him up, trying to get him outside. But the way they both played, I mean, absolutely awesome to me. I mean, the way the Eagles battled back, the way Saquon played, like, that's a game that you could, you know, play 10 times and literally be 5-5.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where when you look at it, again, gritty game, grinded it out, let's see what happens moving forward. Yeah, having some technical issues here, but there we go. We
got it fixed. There he is.
There I am. I'm back. All right, so let's keep going on here. So, Mike, if I'd have told you Malik Willis would have led the Green Bay Packers to a 30-14 win over the Titans, throwing for one touchdown, rushing for another, you'd have looked at me and like, where's Jordan Love? But clearly after the opening game against Philly in Brazil, as we just talked about, he was sidelined. He is sidelined. But Green Bay's defense, let me just say, their defense is truly a force. 8 sacks, and let's not forget about that pick 6 from Jaire Alexander. I mean, the Titans are 0-3. Neither one of us predicted them to get a lot of wins, and I know I heard it from the halftime shows on Courtland Griffin and also touring the AFC South's Mike Patton. But, I mean, Levis threw 2 touchdowns to his credit, but he gave up some key turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And I was just about to say, like, I love like Will Levis's grit and battle. And yes, the turnovers are very bountiful for him right now, which, I mean, look, the one to Alexander, just not NFL quarterback caliber good play. Like, that's tough to stomach, because when you look at it, like, you're driving and everything's good, and all of a sudden you make, you know, yeah, you're getting pressure, but you make that throw. To answer your question, though, you're saying, yes, I would have been like, okay, so what happened to Jordan Love? But I would have said any other team I may have thought about, but I'm like, oh, well, the Titans wanted to give up on him. They drafted him. Obviously, I know the regime coming in that came in isn't the ones that drafted him, but to that extent, he's like, oh, I'm gonna put it up with my I'm gonna show out for my old team. Like, and again, look, you're any kind of edge a competitor can give themselves that's that talented that can do it. And when you're that efficient to the point of, I mean, I would have been like, well, yeah, he goes 13 for 19 for 202 yards, you know, 1 touchdown, no picks. He did get, you know, sacked 3 times. But, I mean, even that, you figure 3 times and it's only, you know, and again, I know they want to lose yards, but 12 total yards a loss there. Yeah, and then to go 6 for 73, and then you give, you know, Josh Jacobs, I know, was coming back from his injury, and they still fed him the ball, but maybe not running fully like he normally does, Eric, but 14 carries for 43 yards. And when, you know, looking at the – watching that little bit of that game as I was, and then even going back and seeing, like, watching extended highlights, it's just, yeah, this Packers defense, I mean, they knew that – I guess that's one thing, because they weren't – you know, and like Denzel was saying, they weren't terrible last year. But at the same time, it's like, okay, like there's going to be some growth. And yeah, when you have Alexander on the outside, yeah, don't try and throw it away where there's empty grass and Alexander's about 5 yards away, because he's going to get the ball. Just a little note there. But look, I mean, Tennessee, I guess, with, you know, no, I mean, a total facelift, obviously Mike Vrabel's gone. I'm not saying that, you know, they're not tough, but we knew what we were going to get from Tennessee. And like you said, I mean, this is a team, what, 2 years, two full seasons removed from being the number one seed, 3 full seasons. Sorry. And then even, you know, it's just going to the playoffs and punching teams in the mouth. So yeah,
that's interesting stat. And I definitely want to thank this subscriber here. 100 yeah. yard plus rusher at 18-3 this season. That's crazy.
No surprise.
That's crazy. All right. Let's keep going, Mike, because don't look now. New York Giants edged out Cleveland 21-15. 2 touchdown passes from Daniel Jones to the rookie Malik Nabers. They battled back from an early deficit and they held strong despite Deshaun Watson and a late charge from the Browns. Listen, they were hindered by injuries. You know, Myles Garrett's absence did play a part in this, but I still say what I have said when they got trounced by the Dallas Cowboys. Cleveland, y'all just can't get it done. Stay at the bottom of the AFC North.
Well, I mean, all right. I don't know if I'm about to go subscribe to that.
How can we not, Mike?
Because, well, Myles Garrett got banged up and went out with the foot injury.
Next man up, Mike. What do we always say? Next man, don't make no excuses.
It is.
Don't make no excuses. Next man up.
I always say that. They're in the NFL, but the talent level is different. The next man up is not Myles Garrett talent level. That being said, look, hey, the Giants, Malik Nabers, and I, when they took him in the draft, I was like, man, like, huh, you could have had, I'm like, oh, I mean, like, not that I didn't think Nabers was good. I'm not saying he, because people are like, oh, trying to say he's just a one-trick pony. All he did at LSU was run go routes. I'm like, no, I'm not saying that. I go, it's just like, do I think Marvin Harrison Jr., number one receiver, like I said before the draft to you a million times? Yeah. But do I think, you know, if we're talking about a receiver hands and the pattern tree and the way they run patterns, Romo Odunze was my guy. I'm like, I love that. And him and Jalen Polk, I mean, as a tandem, were sick. But I was like, you know, Malik Nabers, yeah, I mean, he's going to give headaches to a lot of secondaries. And Daniel Jones, I mean, Brian Daboll's like, hey, man, I know it's got to be organic. Let's see it. But get the damn ball to him. And man, that what second touchdown catch that he had, Jones put it, it was to the outside, and he goes up, and the way he like contorted himself, I'm like, you have got to be absolutely kidding me. And you know, again, it was typical Giants form, it was 21-15. But yeah, I mean, 8 for 78. You're like, okay, that's not crazy big, but two of those 8 catches were touchdowns, and Jones didn't throw an interception. I mean, hell, they even had Malik Nabers try and throw a wide receiver pass. When I saw that in the highlights, I was like, well, hey, man, go with whatever. When it's raining, it's pouring, trick plays work. But, yeah, I like how, you know, I mean, yeah, the Giants, obviously, Daniel Jones making a more concerted effort. But Devin Singletary, too. I mean, look, 16 for 65, 4.1. People will be like, okay, it's a little, you know, about an average day, average-ish for a running back. But – just toting the rock 16 times, and then even after, like I said, there's, yes, still 10 other defenders on the field. I give you that. But when Myles Garrett went down, and it's just yes, the money has to matter because you paid – the money is going to matter. I should say not should. It is going to matter because you paid Deshaun Watson that guaranteed money. And, yeah, he did finally look to, you know, I think you're, what, fourth best friend, Amari Cooper – yesterday. And I mean, he was 21 of 37, 2 touchdowns, no picks. But Amari Cooper, 7 for 86, I mean, very similar to Nabers, and 2 of those 7, of course, were touchdown grabs. So look, you brought Jerry Jeudy in, yes, you know, not having Chubb to run the ball, the Chiefs kind of snaking Kareem Hunt, even though the Browns didn't, you know, resign him, but the Chiefs now bringing Kareem Hunt in because of the injury to Pacheco. I'm not going to sit there and say that just yet, but yes, you did get outperformed by the Giants, and Cleveland can't win at home, which is just, I mean, the Cowboys, like you said, blasted them, obviously week one. They go Jacksonville last week. They win that game. Then they come home. You figure, okay, you return for the Giants. Yes, the Giants are going to be hungry, but at the same time, I mean, come on, you should have the defense to do it, and they don't get it done. So, I mean, a few things to look good, so but
it's on them. They have got to be the ones to figure it out. Look, we're going to take a quick break. We got 7 more games to go. You know, you're watching the Sports Arena with Eric and Mike. We'll be back in a moment.
Connecting your brain and body with interactive games and tests. Why is there no physical activity in today's health physical? Fraser is an holistic technology used to rehabilitate, prevent falls, and improve sport performance. Fraser reports provide you, your clinician, your physical therapist, or athletic trainer objective data to make decisions on your health and performance over time. Measure what matters to change your game. Take the Fraser Challenge. Confidence, growth, connected by Fraser.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Sports Community Man, Eric Wilson, alongside Mike Caratanudo, ASU. He's a Sun Devil, Jerry. Let's keep it moving with these games. So the next game up, hold on to your hats, Mike. Indianapolis got their first win, 21-16 over Chicago Bears, highlighted, of course, by Jonathan Taylor's two rushing touchdowns. Caleb Williams did shine, though. 363 yards and two touchdowns, but he was getting pressured all day long.
Yes, he was. And look, I mean, they the Colts, I mean, again, you, at some point you're like, and Jonathan Taylor, I mean, wow. Like, that kind of looked like pre-injury Jonathan Taylor and pre, you know, contract, like, pay me my damn money, Jonathan Taylor. But, yeah, I mean, Caleb Williams definitely gets pressured a ton. And I do have to say, real quickie, I did think it was funny how he throws his first touchdown pass to the aforementioned Romo Odunze, who caught his, and their celebration was like kind of playing a, you know, runaway, like, oh, who, no, give me the ball. He's like, no, it's my ball. Give me the ball. They're running around to see who gets the ball. But I mean, look, that aside, I love what, I love how the Bears battled. It was just more of a kind of a must win for the Colts. And like I said, I know, was it Richardson? I mean, people were like, oh man, can this guy do it? And, you know, this and that. And, I love the way he, I love the way he plays. Obviously we talk about the athleticism, the way he bounced off the way he bounced back, obviously, from the injury. But yeah, I mean, going up against the Bears, look, the Bears showed against the Texans, the Bears showed against the Texans last week that, like, okay, yeah, that we might be, you know, kind of outmanned. Our quarterback might be, you know, young here to this, in this instance. But it's like, man, like, you can't, it's like, you can't fault Caleb Williams. And yeah, he's growing, he's making mistakes, but man, to get that first touchdown pass, like, dude, absolutely, hats off to him. But yeah, I mean, you give the ball to Jonathan Taylor and you play defense and it opens up the offense for Richardson, then yeah, they're going to win more games and, you know, have a chance, like, in, you know, in this division as they go up again. I know they obviously already lost to the Texans. I'm a big fan of the way they played. And I think, you know, I mean, hell, Caleb Williams having to throw 52 passes, though, I'll wrap it on that, isn't the recipe for the Bears, I think, success. If you get down, yeah, everybody understands you're going to chuck the ball. But him as a rookie chucking 52, I don't know. I mean, you might not feel the same way, but I just think him having to chuck 52 times is probably not going to be a winning solution. But, yeah, if you're down, and I get it, in the fourth quarter, you need to throw the ball. But 52 times might be a teensy bit too much.
All right, let's keep moving to the next game. And it is a game that I thought was going to be a lot better than what it was. Seattle just basically cruised to a 24-3 victory over the Dolphins. Geno, 289. And then you have Zach Charbonnet rushing for two touchdowns. I mean, listen, Miami's offense, they just basically sputtered. First, you lose Tua. Now you lost Skylar Thompson. And again, another team that we did not anticipate would be 3-0, but let's face facts. Pittsburgh Steelers, Minnesota Vikings, Seattle Seahawks, all 3-0 right now. That's something that needs to be spoken on. But more importantly, just talk to me about the Seahawks real quick, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Charbonnet out of when they were in the Pac-12 out of UCLA. Kid was a beast. I told you about him before. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you go 18 for 91 when, you know, Kenneth Walker's out and your next running back up, like you say, next man up, goes 18 for 91, 5 yards a carry and two tutties. Okay. But yeah, I mean, when you look at what Seattle is, it's one of those things where you get a new coach, you get McDonald from the defensive coordinator from the Ravens. And it's kind of funny because, oh, Pete Carroll, you got rid of a coach. Oh, you know, get rid of Pete, this and that. Defensive minded guy, their defense is good. And what did they hire again? cool, man. We'll figure out the offense. We have faith in Geno and Paul. DK Metcalf. The highlight, I was cracking up when I watched SportsCenter last night because I always think of when, and again, I'm not picking on Cardinals fans, obviously, but when DK Metcalf ran over what? Remember the highlight, like almost 23 miles an hour? Because Buda Baker had that interception and had just grass in front of him. And he gets, and Metcalf, I mean, runs him down. Granted, it was deeper in Seattle territory. But I think it was on SportsCenter. I think Scott Van Pelt said, the defensive backs are making an effort. He goes, yeah, if you can see his name, you're not catching him. and it's just true. And so, look, Geno Smith, again, another land of misfit toys quarterback. And maybe some of it was self-imposed, some of the things he did. But at the same time, like, teams he was with. Oh, the Jets. Oh, and then you're with, the Giants, and it's not good there, and blah, blah, blah. And, hey, Pete Carroll's like, let me sign this guy. Let me see what – And like you said, 289, they're going to play defense. I know the Niners are banged up, but two teams fully healthy, they might actually – they might give the Niners a little bit of a fit, although I think the Cardinals can do that too, but we'll get there. But, yeah, I mean, very impressed, obviously, with the Seahawks, Eric, because you do that, you start out 3-0, and a new head coach taking over a team, and again, Seattle weren't terrible, right, E? But they weren't anything great. So
we never anticipated 3-0. Them being in this position. But the fact that it is, the reality is, that's where they're at. So let's see how they progress. Do they stay stagnant, or do they begin to regress as the season pushes on? Let's go on to the next game, because here is something I'm going to say really quick. Andy Dalton, huge for the Carolina Panthers. 319, three touchdowns, 36-22 over the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, he was 26-37 and connected with Chuba Hubbard, who rushed for 114 yards and a touchdown. I mean, the Panthers first off scored on two of their first three drives, breaking a 20-game streak of failing to score on opening drives. Okay? Gardner Minshew, 214. He struggled, which, again, is going to cause the fans, armchair quarterbacks, to start booing. Which, I mean, Aiden O'Connell did come in at the end, but head coach Antonio Pierce made it very clear. By that point, the game was pretty much already out of reach. Yeah. And so he wanted to see where the young man was at, what his progression looked like. Here's what I'm going to say to you before I kick it over to you, Mike. We know Andy Dalton to be a winning quarterback in the regular season. He did it his entire tenure while he was in Cincinnati.
Yep.
So this should come as no surprise. What I will say to you, though, is this. I believe that with him at the helm, now the Carolina Panthers may have a legitimate opportunity, not a shot, an opportunity to cause some disruption, not only within their division, but based upon their schedule because of Andy Dalton. That's what I will say. I'll kick it to you.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I got to chat with her this weekend for Megan Price's fourth best friend in her Wolfpack, Andy Dalton, because I know, they're tight, Megan and Andy Dalton. Look, he's going to see things that, Bryce Young doesn't. He can help Bryce Young prepare, and people are like, oh, well, how often is a backup quarterback? Look, he still is a backup quarterback. Yes, you're not making the money the starter is, but you and I both know they're getting paid very handsomely to sit there and just in case they have to come in. So that being said, it's not that Andy Dalton wasn't helping him. And I think Carolina set Bryce Young up to fail anyway. Like everybody, and we said this last week, you and I were talking about it last week, every quarterback, and people have talked about it everywhere, that's been successful, people talk about it everywhere, E. Like you have weapons around you. You have obviously talent. Yes. Does game planning and scheme and making reads? Yes, it's all part of the puzzle. We know this, Eric, but they gave nothing. I won't say nothing. There's very little, and it starts up front. Andy Dalton will get rid of the ball. To your point, yes, they can cause it because he can get rid of the ball quicker. He can, he's not going to maybe take off out of the pocket, run for 50 yards, but he's going to slide. you know, he can get it done. And like you said, I mean, in Cincinnati, like every people are like, man, like you have these receivers, you can run the ball, and you know, the defense plays well. And then all of a sudden in the first round of the playoffs, the defense gives up a ton. Andy Dalton's not leading them back. And people are like, well, I mean, you should be able to overcome. Well, when you're down, you know, 28 to 10, and it's the start of the second quarter, like, what has your defense done to help you? And again, I get it. People say in sports, overcome. But you and I both know the reality. If you're not playing complimentary football, it's very, very tough, especially that time of year. But, yeah, what he did yesterday, I mean, you can't I look at his numbers, 26 to 37, solid. 319, very solid. Three touchdowns, no picks. You know, but what did they do? What was his best friend besides the tight end? Chuba Hubbard, 21 carries for 114 yards. No, he did not get in, but he kept the Raiders defense, which, again, even against the Ravens all game, and who'd they beat? Well, their opening week, like the defense is like, okay. I mean, Max Crosby was killing people, but when you start running like that, what are you doing to a defensive line consistently like that? You're all you gotta do is get that. You and I both know that split second of hesitation, and you're gonna perform. And so when I look at, you know, Andy Dalton being that proficient, I'm not surprised. I'm not saying that, but Chuba Hubbard, 21 for 114, and then you find, oh, Pittsburgh. You know, again, you can't re-sign everybody. You got some young receivers, but oh, look at Deontay Johnson. People were like, oh man, they traded Deontay Johnson, or, you know, he was in Chicago. Now he's over with the Panthers, but 8 for 122. And he's targeted 14 times and the one touchdown. And Chuba Hubbard, oh, 114 rushing yards. That's what I was going to say, Eric, when I was looking at this game. 114 rushing yards wasn't enough. He also caught 5 passes for 55 yards and got in the end zone that way. So, look, I mean, to me, it's everybody wants to say, oh, you know, yeah, Bryce Young and, you know, oh, let's trade him. And the Panthers have the right thing. And whether they mean it or not, I think I believe they do. Like, no, he's not on the trading block. Like,
I don't think he is either, but he's got a lot to learn. All right. Yeah. We got 4 more games and we got to get through them. So let's go. Here's what I'm going to say, Mike. It's your game. I'm just going to say this real quick and I'm going to turn it over to you to give you some time. When your coach tells you to run the ball and get the first down, Derrick Henry understood the assignment.
Touche. Yep, he understood it quite well. And yes, we know he lives in Dallas. Yes, I thought that, you know, by Jerry Jones saying that they were all in and, you know, everybody, and not just, you know, being crazy excited. And I did tease you and say, oh, it's our year once we get Derrick Henry. But yeah, and I mean, is Derrick Henry going to perform? I mean, his stiff arms still look like rookie. I mean, he was bouncing defenders, you know, grown ass defenders around like rag dolls. And you know, I mean, with 25 carries yesterday for over 151, 2 rushing touchdowns. I mean, Lamar Jackson had 14 carries. You know, it's 39 carries between 2 guys, and 238 yards, basically 237 yards between 2 and 3 touchdowns on the ground. Like, you're not going to win many games. And, you know, my thing goes with Mike McCarthy calling the plays. I'm not saying he's not capable, and I'm not going to sit here and go on that soapbox, Eric. Like, when you outscore an NFL team, and people can say, oh, you know, game in hand or not, with the way the Ravens have given up leads since last year in the fourth quarter, and obviously just last week against the Raiders, like, you put up 19 in the fourth. Okay, I get it, but where's that play calling? Where's that little more tempo the first 3 quarters? I understand that on the other side, like the Ravens defense, yes, for 3 quarters, they are usually and the last, what, like 7-8 games there, and whenever they started giving up these fourth quarter leads, but they're a nasty bunch, and they are good, but it is frustrating to me. Like you said, I was surprised that Dalvin Cook wasn't active for this game. And like I said to you last week, I get it. You come in, like, yeah, you want a guy to not feel like he's behind the 8 ball where, you know, can only call certain things, but he's smart enough to pick it up. I really hope he's active Thursday against the Giants is all I can say. But Mike McCarthy's got you and I always talk about having the pulse on your team, kind of having, you know, your thumbprint on a team, but the pulse of the team. Like, go tempo a little. I'm not saying go tempo every single series. No. But, you know, there are times, hey, man, like, hey, let's go. Let's get to the line. Let's go. Don't let them sub. This is working. Yeah, we can still run the ball. This now we're not going to pass, you know, like Kellen Moore had Dak throwing 60 times a game. Like, that's ridiculous. But, like, where is that urgency to the other side? Because that's one thing I always said. As much as Kellen Moore drove me crazy, yeah, I never said to you the urgency. I don't feel that the urgency isn't there, because I think the way the pace he's calling it, it is there. I don't agree with chucking it 60 times and you can run the damn ball. But I mean, yeah, the Ravens, that you knew it was going to be tough. They don't want to start 0-3. They're on the road in Dallas. And, but yeah, that fourth quarter says to me, huh, your full game against Cleveland and your fourth quarter against Baltimore. Huh? Okay. Like, you can mix and match. Again, it's not going to be college. You're not going to sit there and go no huddle, stare over like every second. I'm not saying that, but have the urgency, Mike McCarthy. Have the urgency that Micah Parsons have, because, you know, some of his defensive teammates might be. I agree with everything you said. We don't have time to go into that. I agree with what Micah Parsons said, and it's one of those things where, like, other people need to start having that urgency. But yeah, you gotta put, you know, have some pride up front, because teams are just gonna keep trying to shove the ball down your throat. Ever since Buffalo last year.
Listen, and that's what they're going to do. All right, three more games. Let's get it done here. Next up, thrilling game here. Rams rally from a 14-point deficit, beating the 49ers 27-24. 30-yard field goal from the rookie, Joshua Carty. I mean, Kyrie Williams, clearly, in my opinion, Mike, yo, star of the show. Three rushing touchdowns and catching one. I mean, look, despite Juwan Jennings – you know, he had a breakout game, 11 for 175 and three touchdowns for the Niners. For whatever reason, they just could not hold the lead. And that's what I thought when I saw this matchup. I mean, listen, the victory kept the Rams from starting the season 0-3. But the Rams and Matthew Stafford, for people who continually have doubts about Matthew Stafford not being that guy in the fourth quarter to get it done, I'm not speaking to you, Ray Lynn. I'm just saying everybody else. Yo, the brother did what he had to do. We got to keep it quick, Mike, because we still got two more games to go.
Yeah, I mean, 16 of 25 for Stafford, 221, the touchdown. But, yeah, I mean, if you're the Niners, I mean, almost you're up 21-7 against a division rival where it's a road game. But we know, as the big guard always told, like, and you see here out west, like, the Niners fans take over that stadium. Because L.A.'s got so many things going on. Niners fans take over that stadium. Yeah, Juwan Jennings, I mean, let that sink in, what you said, like 11 for 175 and three from a guy that's, you know, fourth, fifth option on a depth chart. That's how, and he's a very good player. People say, oh, well, look who all was out. Right. And he still produced. Yeah, I mean, like Kyle Shanahan said, I mean, you got to close out that game. You can't be happy with things. But to your point, Stafford made the plays. I mean, the Niners missed the field goal, give them great field position. They made the plays when they had to against two mass unit teams. I mean, two teams that, like, if you saw this, you know, and you didn't know anything about football, and I told you, hey, here's a laundry list of dudes that are missing from both teams. Do you want to watch this game? You're going to be like, yeah, the final score is going to be like 7-3. Who cares? And like you said, Matthew Stafford was still there. Brock Purdy was still there. But, yeah, I mean, the Rams earned the victory. But that is one time I will say, not speaking on both sides of my mouth, the Niners gave that away.
All right. Two games left. Let's get to it. Speaking of your backyard, ooh, Detroit Lions edged out the Arizona Cardinals. Jared Goff had two touchdowns. David Montgomery rushed for 106. Goff hitting his first 14 passes, including that hook and ladder play for a touchdown.
Oh, my God.
Lions defense, though, held the Cardinals scoreless, Mike. Scoreless in the second half until a late field goal. Here is what I will say, Mike. That boy, that young man, Marvin Harrison Jr. Ladies and gentlemen, if you slept on him, trust me, he got the receipts for your ass. That's what I'm going to say.
100%. The Cardinals did get screwed by the pick six because so many times on, you know, delay a game, Eric, we'll see zero on the TV, but the ref sees zero and looks down, and if the ball is moving, they don't throw the flag. The ball was moving. Like, it may have been 2 minutes, but the ball was already moving, and the whistle's blowing, but way after that passes, like, as that pass is leaving Jared Goff's hands. And then on the next play, Jonathan Gannon talked about that. Yeah, it is an emotional letdown. Everybody gets it, but you have to be able to bounce back from that. Marvin Harrison Jr., yeah, him and Kyler Murray are getting more comfortable. I think Kyler forced a few things to him. That Lions defense, yes, is bad. But, I mean, you said the Cardinals got the field goal, but the Cardinals defense in the first half, which got pushed around by the Lions, didn't score in the second half either. They let them scoreless. So, look, there's a lot to take from the Cardinals when we got to get to the next game. This was a good game, and like Jonathan Gannon said, like, that's a good defense. Like, yeah, we did not play well defensively in the first half, but they caused that. And then Aiden Hutchinson, I mean, the good news is he only had one sack. Yes, he had pressures, but he only had one sack. So that was good. But, yeah, a lot to like from this game. I mean, look, for people here, I'll say this. It's early in the season. If that's a playoff matchup, if that's an NFC championship matchup, I'd sign up to watch that.
Oh, all day long. All day long. All right, last matchup, last game. Man, Kansas City, every which way and twice on Sunday night, find a way when the lights are on and the stage is set, they find a way to get it done. Mahomes, two touchdowns. Kansas City, 22-17 over the Falcons. Here's what I will say, Mike, and I'm glad you're sitting down for this. You might fall out your chair.
What?
Kirk Cousins actually looked as bad as he always does every single time he's in prime time. Yeah, he beat Philadelphia on Monday night. I don't care. Congratulations. You're now 4-11 in primetime matchups.
Go ahead. No. You get the Mutombo finger. Come on. He made some plays. Look, Drake London is finally coming in. Look, I was hard on – you know this, because we talked to Falcons last year. I love Bijan Robinson. He's a rookie. Kyle Pitts. Understanding, look, we all know there's only one ball, but come on. You got to get Kyle Pitts more involved in the offense. Drake London is a sick thing, and I know I'm not just saying it because the Eagles game. But, I mean, look, the kid, it's like, get this kid the ball. Like, he's not just, like, going down, like I said, running go routes. Like, get this kid the ball. And Kirk Cousins is doing that. But, yeah, to your point on the Chiefs, like, Mahomes throws an interception, and it's like, okay, you got him. They go for it on fourth. But the Falcons defense, look, this Falcons team, I said Kirk Cousins coming back from injury, that'd be a question mark. We'll see, like, is that going to lead him going to Michael Penix Jr., you know, early, even with these weapons? But, look, you have Bijan Robinson, you have Algiers, and you have Pitts, you have Drake London. Like, there's weapons there. And to your point about Carolina with Andy Dalton, Atlanta could be more of a pain for teams. And, again, yeah, people say, oh, well, thanks, Captain Obvious. I mean, they beat Philly. They were toe-to-toe with Kansas City. People are, of course, you know, as we know, not one-time Super Bowl champ, but back-to-back Super Bowl champs, the target on your back so big, everybody's going to play their A game. But to your point, look, the way Cousins played, I mean, yeah, there are some plays here and there, but look, the Falcons defense is going to definitely, keep them in games. And when you look at what Cousins did, I mean, you know, Mahomes, 26-39, 217, two touchdowns, and he still says, you know, I need to play better. Yeah, having the interceptions. Cousins, one touchdown, one pick, 20-29, 230, so – I mean, not as bad as you say, but yeah, I mean, it's Atlanta's going to give teams some problems, but yeah, Kansas City, look, and Juju, hey, look, Juju's back with the team, and look who got in the end zone,
Hey, styles make fights. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on the Sports Arena. From your man, Mike Caratunuto, ASU, Forks Up, he's the Sun Devil Jerry, and your man, Eric Wilson. We will talk to y'all soon. Everybody stay blessed. We out. Peace.